Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors for February 21, 2023. And with that, I will like to call the meeting to order and move on to item two, Pledge of Allegiance. And I would ask Director Cooper if he would kindly lead us in the pledge tonight. Would you all please rise?
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Our announcements for tonight are as follows. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. We do have members of the public present, so I would remind the members of the public that are attending in person, there are public comment cards in the hallway that would help facilitate the public comment process. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for the roll call votes. All directors are present at tonight's meeting except directors Colley and Peterson, who will be absent from tonight's meeting. We now can move on to item three, public comment. I do have one public comment card from Cam Noltemeyer. So, Ms. Noltemeyer, would you please come to the podium and make your public comment?
Cam Noltemeyer. As you well know, I've been attending every single meeting of this water company for some time, and I believe I have reached the height of my disgust. We are down to just 9 people. Am I correct? Just 9 of you. And I watched how it was done. I found it very disturbing, let's say the least. I have this, and I watched the proceedings and what it did and how it was handled, and it was really disgusting. And even now, I don't think you're really serving the public. And from what I'm seeing, obviously, in the agenda tonight, that's very true. It's going to be do this, you know, and I look at these and I almost have to laugh, but it's sad. It's sad that it's being done to the ratepayers and to what we were used to many, many years ago when the people that you were given the water to were the one most important ones. Now, the developers are the most important ones. They are the ones that are getting all the attention and the breaks. And we have to do this, but look, you know. So I don't know how better to express it, but that I hope there's something that can be done about this. And I'm hoping that the people that are paying the bills will finally start stepping up and saying, no, these individuals up here aren't representing you. They're representing the developers. And that's pretty apparent in the agenda tonight. And sure, you can keep developing as much as you want and say, we have the water, show us where the water is. You will be taking it out of everybody else. And I haven't heard one argument or statement or anything from any of you that has impressed me with what you're doing. And I'm hoping that we can do some kind of organization to combat this and get back to where the water company is a water company for the people, not for every developer that comes down the path. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Noltemeyer. Madam Secretary, do we have any other public comment online for item 3?
We do. Ms. Dunn, please hit star 6 and you may begin your public comment.
Well, good evening. Can you hear me?
Barely, Ms. Dunn. Okay, go ahead.
You say I'm unmuted, but have you heard me?
We can hear you now.
Hello?
Ms. Dunn, go ahead and begin your comment. Ms. Dunn, go ahead and start your public comment.
Thank you. I think I hear you. I don't hear you very well, though. I'm calling in because on Sunday at 8 a.m., I went to the McDonald's on Soledad, and they had no water. Now, was that Santa Clarita Vision problem, or was it the McDonald's situation? Because they just were closed. They came out and said, sorry, you guys, but we can't serve you. And so I was kind of curious about that. And then the other item, the legacy word is on my new hall division bill. It should not even be listed on any of the new hall bills. We don't have a legacy bill, a legacy debt, and I would like to see that removed from our bills because I fear in the future you will figure out something else that you can put on that. And I don't want to see that happen. And so I'm asking you to take legacy off of the New Hope Division bills. Now, did you hear all of that?
Yes, we did.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn. Does that complete your public comment?
Thank you. Steve or Matt, do you want to respond to the outage at the restaurant that Ms. Dunn refer to, or do we know?
Yeah, we'll have to check that.
Okay.
To see if Thank there's a record much. Of it. It could also have been plumbing work they were doing on the facility. So
yes, it could be, sure.
And thank you. We'll talk with Rochelle about what's possible for the legacy bill. It may be that now that we have the same format, it's just listed with 0 next to it, but we can talk about what's possible there.
Okay. And by the way, I was remiss, especially for the benefit of our honored guests from Valencia High School. Item 3 was public comment on items not on the agenda tonight. So we can now move on to item 4, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes or modifications from the board on the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved, and we can move on to our special procedures item for tonight. It is going to be a presentation of a certificate to the Valencia High School Associated Student Body for their Gravity Water Project fundraiser. And before we make the presentation of the certificate, let me tell you a little bit about what the students have done and their faculty member. And I'm sure they'll expand on that when they get a chance to address the board. Last year, students at Valencia High School teamed up with Gravity Water to spread awareness of the global water crisis and do something about it. Gravity Water is a nonprofit that turns rain into safe drinking water for schools in need around the world. The Associated Student Body set a goal to fund a water system at a primary school in Vietnam. The school they chose relies on spring and well water, which are often contaminated and unsafe for consumption. So each student has to pay for bottled water instead. The ASB students raised $2,900, exceeding their goal of $400 by a wide margin, I might say. Because they share our mission to provide reliable and safe drinking water, we would like to commend the Valencia High School ASB for their project. Here tonight, and by the way, I have four names listed, but I see five people sitting in the audience. So if I don't say your name, please stand up and identify yourself. Tonight, we have the ASB President, Michael Leon, Secretary Ava Francis, Ambassador Sue Kim, and we have the ASB Director and Mathematics Teacher, Joshua Benham, and who is your fifth member? Could you just identify yourself? Okay. All right. Thank you. I was going to say Vice President Zach Andrews and Treasurer Addison Kunkar were unable to attend tonight's meeting. We would like to welcome the ASB President, Michael Leon, to the podium to say a few words. Mr. Leon, please come to the podium.
Hi. Firstly, I just wanted to thank you guys. This is really special. And then I also want to thank our Valencia students and the local businesses that were able to support us. Our main source of funding did come from these local businesses and the sponsors that we were able to attain from our ASB students. Each grade was in charge of finding and meeting or calling a set of local businesses to obtain donations to use as incentives for our charity and the raffle that went into that. This is actually the second fundraiser that we've done kind of for people that are less fortunate. The other one we did was for breast cancer awareness. And in both of these, we were able to just blow out our goal by hundreds of dollars, so that's really special. And so our main focus was to raise our desired funds, obviously, but it was also very important to spread education about the global water crisis. And that's why we made sure we incorporated some exciting events on campus, such as our Pi and Exec, so that way we could captivate the students' attention as we also informed them of our purpose. Altogether, I would say it was a very great way to see the student body step up to help the less fortunate and the underserved, even if it left us covered in whipped cream. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The board will have an opportunity to make comment, but at this time, I'd like to have the group join us at the podium for the presentation. And I'd like to ask Director Armitage if she would join us for the presentation. But Director Armitage brought this item to the board for our awareness and consideration. So please join us at the podium.
All right, so let me read your certificate to you, and thank you for coming, by the way, and thank you for all the good work you've done. Awesome. The Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors recognizes the Associated Student Body of Valencia High School for their shared mission to provide reliable and safe drinking water to communities in most need. The agency extends its gratitude and congratulations on a successful fundraiser to help in the global water crisis. We commend you. As signed by me and our two vice presidents, Vice President Ozahusky and Vice President. Kathy, stand next to the recipient.
Great work that you all have done. Thank you very much. We can move on now to item 6, the consent calendar. There are three items
President
on
Martin,
the consent.
Do you want to do public comment and then board discussion? Public comment first?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've skipped right over that. I promised you we'd have a chance to make public comment. Let's entertain public comment from the public, if there are any.
There is no public comment.
We can open up the board discussion. I'm sorry. So, anybody like to weigh in on this? Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just want to say, as a mother of a recent Valencia High School grad and a mother of two current students at Valencia, but also as a member of Santa Clarita, it was really heartwarming for me to see the ASB students do this work. And I was really proud of that. I think there's a lot of different projects that students choose to work on. And the fact that they chose to focus on the issue of water availability at a global level is, I think, pretty impressive. And then raising the funds to help a sister community have a gravity-fed water filtration system is pretty cool. So thank you to everybody who was involved, all of you who worked hard on that, your advisor, thank you for that. And just keep up the good work of being good stewards of our natural resources and, being innovative problem solvers. It's really nice to see that. And lastly, I'll just say that I hope that you and your fellow students will consider running for office one day so that you can be at these decision-making tables, whether it be at a water board or a city council or at the state level or at the congressional level. But so please consider that because we need brilliant minds like yours. Thank you.
Vice President Gutzak.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming, guys and girls. My daughter is in eighth grade, and I know how hard it is to do ASB on top of full course load. And I thought it was particularly interesting that you guys fundraise to local businesses. That's really, thinking out of the box and a good move and just, getting you ready for real life. I appreciate your focus on water awareness and educating the other students at your school. I did ask when I heard about this, I did ask our public affairs person to make sure that we maintain a strong partnership with all of our schools and, have this awareness of any water projects that are going on that we can support and recognize that we do that because, we need all hands on deck for this cause and can really appreciate you guys thinking of doing that and the great work that you did. So thanks for coming.
Director Bronstein.
I'll make this short because nobody wants to be here too long. I just want to thank you guys. I mean, getting the younger generation interested in water or getting anybody really interested in water is not an easy thing to do. So for you guys to decide to focus on this and to do such a remarkable job is really, it's kind of awesome. So I'd like to echo what the previous two directors said. And I also hope that you guys stay involved and maybe one day again also. be up here, make the decisions, and make the world a better place. Thank you.
Any other comments from the board? And I'll say again, thanks for coming up. I'm sorry I hastily moved on to the next item. I did promise that we would have an opportunity to say thank you to it, and that's what we're doing. And please pass the word now that you know what's on the top of the hill at Central Park. Let your friends and neighbors and family know that there's a group up here that does what you're trying to do, provide safe and reliable drinking water to our customers. So once again, thanks for stepping out of your comfort zone and into a very worthy effort. Very much appreciated. So thanks for coming tonight, and we now can move on.
Can I just add that in just a few years, for those of you who are in college and interested, we did just start an internship program this year, and we'll have some intern positions in a variety of different functions here at the agency. So,
right.
And scholarships, which are relevant sooner than that, even. So, yeah.
So, very good. So, we now can move on to item 6, the approval of the consent calendar. And thank you, and have a good evening, all of you. Thanks for coming. Approval of the consent calendar. There are 3 items on the consent calendar tonight. Do we have a entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar? Director Cooper, motion to approve.
Second, Director Mark.
So we have a motion and a second. Do we have any public comment, April, on the consent calendar?
We do not.
Very good. Are there any other board discussion or just questions about the consent calendar? Seeing none, hearing none, please call the roll,
April. As I call your name, please state how you vote.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahofsky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, and that includes resolution number SCV-333.
Very good. We can move on to item 7, action item for approval. We have one item on the action item list tonight, and it is approve a resolution for a deposit to Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, and 2, a purchase order to Metropolitan Water District of Southern California for planning and engineering services for the Foothill Feeder Service Connection CLWA-01 pipe repair project, which is exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15301 and alternatively section 15303, and authorize approval of the deposit. Presenter tonight is Shadi Bader, unless General Manager would like to comment beforehand.
I think we'll hand it right to Shadi.
All right, great. Well, thank you, President Martin, and good evening, directors. This is Shadi Bader, Senior Engineer, and the item before you tonight is to recommend an approval or to approve a deposit request to Metropolitan Water District of Southern California for the Foothill Feeder Turnout CLWA-1 repairs project. Next slide, please. In 1992, SCV Water, CLWA, the predecessor for SCV Water and MWD, entered into an agreement for Metropolitan to wheel raw state water project water from Castaic Lake to us via Metropolitan's Foothill Feeder pipeline. Since the start of the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant in 1996, SCV Water has received raw water through a temporary connection, which was about 30 million gallons per day, which increased to 60 million gallons per day. After the increase in the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant permanent capacity to 66 million gallons per day, a permanent connection, which allows us up to 90 million gallons per day, was installed by SCV Water. And in 2019, MWD had a planned shutdown of the Foothill Feeder, so we took advantage and we made the final tie-in to the Foothill Feeder. Shortly after Metropolitan repressurized the Foothill Feeder backup, a leak was observed at the connection inside the vault on the MWD side of the piping. At the time, we put a temporary fix to mitigate the leak, and we agreed to come back at a later date to permanently fix the leak during the next Foothill Feeder shutdown. Next slide, please. Here's a general location map showing our turnout facility near the Bridgeport Park and the Santa Clara River in Valencia. Next slide, please. Here's a plan showing the turnout piping connection. The components highlighted in green are owned and maintained by Metropolitan Water District, and the components highlighted in blue are owned and maintained by SCV Water. As you can see from the plan, the leak is located on Metropolitan side of the turnout that SCV Water constructed for them back in 2019. Next slide, please. Here's a profile showing the connection and piping from the 201-inch foothill feeder. The leak is located on the 48-inch spool highlighted here in yellow that is connected to the T. The piece was fabricated and installed as part of the 2019 tie-in. Next slide, please. Here, I just want to show a couple of pictures of the steel spool from outside the vault when it was installed. Next slide, please. Here's another picture of the same spool, but from the inside of the vault. The second picture on the right-hand side shows the spool that is being out of round, and that's what the culprit that we suspect that is leaking. Next slide, please. In order to complete and close out the project back in 2019, Metropolitan, the contract, and SCV Water came up with a temporary fix to keep the turnout running, and that is by installing a 2-inch PVC pipe and a pump and pump the leak water to the meter vault before it gets pumped and discharged to the Santa Clara River. At the time, we agreed with Metropolitan to fix the issue once the plan for another shutdown of the foothill feeder was more clear. Next slide, please. The permanent fix is to remove and replace the faulty spool and investigate any other issues that could be leaking and replacing those components as well. Next slide, please. In late November of 2022, we received a letter from Metropolitan stating that they are planning to have another shutdown of the foothill feeder in January 2024. Metropolitan also requested a $120,000 deposit to start planning and design for the repair. Next slide, please. Here's a schedule for the project. We presented this at the Engineering and Operations Committee on February 2nd, 2023. Tonight, we are presenting to you the Board of Directors. And if the board approves the deposit, we will send the deposit over to Metropolitan early March of 2023. Then between March of 2023 to January of 2024, we anticipate completing the planning and design for these repairs, with the repairs being completed during the shutdown in January 2024. Next slide, please. So with that, the staff recommends that the Board of Directors first find the action exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines, section 15301, and alternatively exempt from CEQA under CEQA guidelines, section 15303, and second, adopt the resolution authorizing a deposit the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California for the foothill feeder service connection CLWA-01 pipe repair project for $120,000 and authorize the general manager to execute a purchase order to Metropolitan Water District of Southern California for an amount not to exceed $120,000. And with that, I've completed my presentation. I'll hand it over back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Shadi. Excellent presentation as usual. I don't have any public comment cards, Madam Secretary. Do we have any members of the public online who wish to make comment?
We do. Ms. Dunn, please hit star 6 and you may begin your public comment. Ms. Dunn, please hit star 6. You may begin your public comment.
Hello. I do have you now. I have a concern about this. First of all, I hear it was $125,000, and I saw in the paperwork $120,000 was the deposit. I was just looking for that again while I was waiting for the speaking. Anyway, what I want to talk about is I read through most of this, and I can't understand why we are responsible for a leak that's on the Metropolitan's piping. If we had construction people employed to do the work for the temporary and then the permanent, wouldn't they be have insurance that we could actually get it resolved through the contractor? Or is this something that I'm very concerned about the meeting? I did not attend the engineering meeting, but I wonder if Mr. Cooper was promoting this. After all, he had to do with the Foothill project years ago. I say any director who works for MWD or has a retirement plan from MWD should abstain from this vote, because it is possibly a bad thing to do, because here they are part of MWD, even with their retirement plans. So I would suggest that they do abstain, and they can abstain because they do have an interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn, for your comment. I will offer Courtney or Shadi or both of you perhaps expand a little bit on the circumstances of this repair. Well, I know we received it at engineering, but we did not have a quorum, so it didn't come to the board with any recommendation whatsoever. But I do think there's a rational explanation for why it is. It's our responsibility.
Yeah, I can go ahead and explain that. And Shadi, you can step in if I miss anything here on this. But basically, when this project went through, we had a contractor on board, but obviously this is a critical facility in order to get water, raw water, to our treatment facilities and be able to treat the water. We can only have that facility shut down for certain periods of time. And at the completion of the project, we were really anxious to get that back online. So the goal was to, and the negotiation with the contractor and NWD was to come up with a solution that would buy us time until such time as we were going to shut down the Foothill feeder again. We had a deductive change order from the contractor in the form of $54,000 at the time. That included the bypass line that was put in and the pumps that were put in to service that. So the agreement was with MWD for us to pay for this in the future when it came back up at the next shutdown. Hopefully that answers that question.
Yes. Thank you, Courtney.
Yeah, I'll just add, if I can, President Martin, that to give you an idea of the difficulty of dewatering that facility, it actually took legislation to permit MWD to be able to dewater the facility by defining a process and safe parameters from a environmental perspective because of fully protected species. And that was clearly part of the strategy, was to try to minimize that, the need to go back and do that. The other thing is, depending on the cause of the leakage, it's not like you can run down to Home Depot and get another 48-inch spool. They have to be fabricated. And so I think the feeling was that this approach provided the best balance of getting the line back in service, albeit with some minimal leakage, and then providing a path in the future for the work to be done properly.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. If there's no further public comment online, April?
There is not.
Very good. We can open up to board discussion. Are there any questions? Director Cooper.
Just to be clear for Mrs. Dunn, is yes, I worked for Metropolitan Water District for 40 years. It was my crews under my supervision that installed the first connection over onto the feeder that brought water over here to this plant. And I no longer work for Metropolitan. I have no connections with them whatsoever, and I receive no funding from them. My funding comes from the California Public Employees Retirement System, not Metropolitan.
Vice President Gutze.
I had a question before you sat down, so, and I apologize for not catching this earlier, but Sade's presentation was excellent and very comprehensive. The written board memo has a not to exceed planning cost of $175,000. The last PowerPoint slide said not to exceed $120,000. What is the not to exceed planning cost and what is the total project cost?
So our budgeted not to exceed amount is $175,000. The Metropolitan deposit request is $120,000. They are doing that in increments. This is the increment they chose. The hope is that they're able to do both the planning and construction for that $120,000.
Okay.
And then we will see from there. But we wanted to give ourselves a bigger buffer in our budget and got the authorization for up to $175,000 without having to come back to the board.
Okay. So that last slide, are we authorizing a purchase order up to $175,000 instead of $120,000 on the last, that was on the last PowerPoint?
The purchase order to Metropolitan for $120,000.
Okay.
That's
then correct. Do you need a separate authorization for the $175,000? And that would be in our motion then. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. But no, I agree. Definitely needed. And I thank you for the explanation of the logic behind how it was done.
Vice President Ozowski.
Vice President Goodside. The resolution does indicate $120,000, not $175,000. And that's for that's for the deposit. So we do not have a resolution for $175,000 being capped, just the $120,000 for the deposit.
Yeah, we will come back to the board if we need more than $120,000.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, it's budgeted, but if we do need to spend more than that, we will come back to ask for it.
Correct. And a follow-up question to that, Mr. Mayo. So this will be funded from another capital improvement project that is anticipated to be under budget. Which project is that?
I'm not sure, actually. We will. We picked one out, and I'm not positive which one it is. Shadi, do you know what project that was?
I am looking that up right now, but I believe it's another project that's going to be under budget. Just give me a few seconds, and I'll let you know here. That's the nice beauty about working remotely presenting.
You have all the seconds you need.
Thank you.
I remember looking it up and thinking I needed to remember that, and I don't remember what it was.
Just know this does not take away from your presentation. Love the images, love the drawings, love the details. Please continue with that, with those type of presentations.
Director Cooper.
Courtney, who's fabricating the new spool?
MWD will be fabricating it.
So the project that we took money from was from the EWELS, from the PFAS project. We directed some funds from the EWELS over to this project right now. And you're 100% correct, just like what Mr. Mayo mentioned. The $175,000 is just the cap for the whole budget. Since our reports require us to put the full budget amount, the amount that we're going to be cutting over to Metropolitan View approve is $120,000 deposit.
Understood. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
All right. Very good. Any other questions? Director Armitage.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bader, for your presentation. And thank you both to Mr. Mayo and Mr. Bader for taking the time to answer many, many, many questions I had today. That I reached out with to kind of get the details and fill in areas where I felt like I needed more information. And then I also listened to the recording of the ENO committee meeting on this item, and I appreciated the questions that President Martin and Director Peterson brought up. And I think the question that was raised about whether or not SCV Water should pay for this project was actually a fair one. I understand the need for the project and the need for this work. It needs to be done. And I know we want to keep a good working relationship with MWD since we have to partner with them on other projects related to Castaic Lake Reservoir and State Water Project and probably others. So I don't want to suggest that, you know, we refuse to pay anything, but I just don't have a good feel for how appropriate $120,000 for a deposit on a total cost that we don't know yet. Because we don't know if they're going to keep the project in-house or if they're going to contract it out. So I feel like we're paying for something that I'm not sure we're even responsible for. And we're giving away our ability to control cost, I feel like. So I was trying to kind of come up with what's the compromise in my own mind. I'm not sure. Maybe if like Metropolitan Water said they would keep it in-house for sure and that we know that the cost would be more controlled that way, I'd feel more comfortable with it. But from what I understand, they don't have the ability to do that, or we don't have that information. So I'm struggling with this one.
Yeah, the Metropolitan doesn't yet know the full scope. That's why the first part of this is an investigation. We are certainly a staff pushing for them to do it in-house to keep the cost under control. They know that is our request into them. But just like we would be if the project gets a lot more complicated than just replacing this spool, and you have to do a lot more significant work, then it would be very difficult for in-house staff to be able to pick that up. So we will begin that discussion once we do the initial investigation.
Thank you, Courtney. Do you have another comment, Director Cooper?
Well, just from past experience with Metropolitan, jobs that are less than $1 million, usually Metropolitan does all of those jobs themselves. And once they figure out the full scope of this, if it's less than $1 million, then I imagine they'll do it themselves.
Director Brunstein.
I'm still not sure why it's our responsibility to pay for it. If we can restate it again in a simple, the simplest way that you could, like, do we get money? Like you said, do we get a credit for like 54? Like what?
So, yeah, to restate it, we hired the contractor to build this facility. So it was under our contract to build entirely. Obviously, this is for our purposes. At the time, the contractor had a spool that we believe was out of round and that may not have fit correctly and had a leak to it. So through that negotiation with Metropolitan and with the contractor, we did a deductive change order, which means we didn't have to pay them for $54,000 of the work. And that included them to do the extra work of adding the additional piping to handle the leak. So we were given that credit. We didn't have to pay for that. But the other side of that negotiation is once the foothill feeder was taken down again, we would have to pay for the repair. Normally, if we didn't have that agreement in place and there's a leak down the road on their side of the pipe, they would be responsible for it. And similarly, we would have to be responsible for it on our side of the pipe. This is an exception to that through the negotiation of the original construction of the project.
Thank you. That was very well put. I just want to make sure that everybody can understand exactly what's going on, because yeah. I think that these kind of things, transparency is like really important. And so we don't know yet how much we're in the hole for.
We don't, not yet.
So it could be 175,000 or it could be 500,000. Like what's the cap?
It could be less than 120,000, which is our current estimate of what it would be under if we're just doing the spool. In theory, it could be the replacement of the entire station. I don't believe that would be the case because I don't see why we would need to go to that rate. And we would have to figure that out and come back to the board and have that conversation if that was the case.
Okay, so we're going in not knowing what the final result's going to be and then what happens. Like if we give them a deposit of 120,000 and then they come back with something ridiculous and we're like, no, then what happens?
Then we would negotiate with Metropolitan Water District on that and bring it back to the board. The first part is just the investigation. We can't get anywhere until we make sure we've done that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let me ask something, if I may. This is Shad DeBader again. You know, part of this $120,000 deposit will go into preparing a cost estimate for the construction cost, right? So, you know, once we get a project to start up on their end, they'll be able to go out to the site they'll be able to, you know, to investigate what's going on, just like Courtney mentioned. And after that, we'll have a cost estimate for the repair moving forward. And just like you mentioned, you know, it's going to be more than that cost amount. We'll definitely come back to the board, but it's going to be up to the staff to negotiate that with Metropolitan at that point.
Director Cooper.
Yeah. Just to let you know, this is pretty common with Metropolitan. This is the way they do business. Is they have pipelines from all the way from Castaic or Simi Valley that go all the way down to San Diego. They have pipelines all over Southern California. And when anybody ties into their pipelines, Metropolitan does the engineering for those jobs. And what they do is they get a deposit for anybody going to do a connection, a meter, anything that goes onto their pipelines. Then they decide how it's going to be constructed afterwards. So this is very, very common in what they do. They get a deposit from us. They do their engineering work out of that deposit. And then here they're going to also do the fabrication out of it. So that's pretty normal.
All right. So this is the second presentation I've seen on the same subject. We were satisfied as committee. They answered all of our, Shadi answered all of our questions, as well as you, Courtney. And of course, the unique situation when you're taking a line down and you have a limited amount of time, normally a construction project that where there's defective work, it gets repaired by the contractor and before the completion of the project. But when you don't have the time to do it, you put it back together as fast as you can, get it back in service and come back and you negotiate an agreement with Met to get it done at a later time. And that's what we're doing. So I trust that the staff is controlling the cost as well as they do normally, which is very, very well. And so with that, I entertain a motion to Vice President Ozowski.
Motion to approve this and approve the deposit.
We have a second.
I'll second Goodsight.
Second by Vice President Goodsight. Is there any other comment or question? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
No.
Vice President Goodsight.
Yes.
Vice President Ozowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item does pass, and that's resolution number SCV-334.
All right. Thank you, staff, for the excellent presentation and Q&A session, and thank you, board. We can move on now to item 8, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Thank you. Just a few items to report tonight. Checking the time. Looking exceptionally well. I will be can you hear me okay? Okay. I will be presenting at the Urban Water Institute Conference in Palm Springs this week. I think a number of you will be there. We have a panel Friday morning of water agency general managers discussing kind of various takes on the question how they set priorities around what needs to be changed and how to affect change. The larger theme of the conference is sort of an interesting musical theme of the beat goes on. So there's all these variations on beats and drummings and things like that. So I think it's how do you change the beat is the name of the panel. I'll have an opportunity to talk a little bit about our backstory here at SCV Water, our strategic plan, and then how you handle things that you don't anticipate in your strategic plan, which we know all too well that can happen, or even those that you do anticipate but become significant. So it should be a good, hoping it'll be well received. Also last week, I had an opportunity to meet with a group of about 20 water agency managers from around the state to discuss climate change and water supply reliability issues. This is an ongoing dialogue that I've been invited to join. That's
aimed at establishing the nature and scale of the challenge, developing a common vision for making generational scale water investments statewide, and how to collaborate with key stakeholders, addressing the pace of progress as well as barriers. You know, a lot of it too is just hearing different perspectives from around the state, different regions of the state, and how they're addressing their own challenges and kind of the common themes. We're also looking at how do you communicate that to policymakers? Particularly, I think the insight is that for quite a long time, the water agencies have self-funded a lot of these large investments with the occasional sporadic bond issue that usually has a lot of parks money. And then we all fight over, you know, little pots of recycling money that we set aside and things like that and go through kind of competitive processes. And is that getting the job done? Is that really getting us where we need to be for the long haul as we continually face a more rapidly changing future? And so it's been good to kind of have that discussion. It's still kind of inward. There's not much outward focus yet. It's more trying to get our collective arms around it and figure out where we can have an impact as a group, whether it's a policy paper or some subsequent effort. But it was good to get invited to sit in the room, and I think I hopefully made some good contributions to the thinking on that. Also attended the state water contractors meeting last week. So I guess that was the week before. This is last week I was at the state water contractors meeting. One of the larger news items that you may have heard about was the governor's executive order, and then the state Department of Water Resources filed a temporary urgency change petition with the State Water Resources Control Board, requesting a temporary variance in the what's known as the X2 Delta salinity requirement point. It moves either east or west, depending on how wet the hydrology is. And X2 simply refers to a level of salinity that must be maintained at a specific measuring point. So the X2 point kind of moves east or west, depending on how wet it is. And given that we had this exceptionally wet January, there is a provision that dates back to at least 1995 in the permit that says, if it's that wet in January, you have to maintain flows in February and March, even if the atmospheric rivers have stopped. And so the concern was, if it, albeit we have some storms coming in now, but the concern was, if it remains dry, we could begin to drain the storage that we've been so happy to be accruing in the last month and a half or two. And I'll just point out the other aspects of that. The there are still pumping rules in effect that are actually limiting pumping. So this does not necessarily increase pumping as much as it keeps some water in storage longer. The other is there are fish monitoring and other provisions in the permit that are not changed by this. If it does rain more, I think that will result in more flow in the river. But we won't necessarily be bound to release flows from storage to increase flows artificially for the next 2 months. The State Water Board approved that petition tonight. That just happened right before the board meeting tonight. And it's estimated, depending on the conditions and what might have had to be released, I've heard estimates of anywhere from 300,000 to 700,000 acre feet of water that could be conserved. Where will that water go? It's possible it may still be used for environmental purposes this year, particularly later in the year for temperature control. It may, if we have dry weather, be available for that as well, depending on how our snowpack behaves and whether it comes down the mountain into storage or evaporates up into the atmosphere as it's done in a few recent years. That water could be very valuable to maintain deliveries in the projects. So it is a delicate balancing act. I will say too that the Department of Fish and Wildlife for California weighed in on the proposal and
felt that on the whole, it was acceptable as a strategy with minimal risk, given the other operating measures and rules that were still in place. So I think we'll find out. You know, this is an interesting time. We're trying to adapt. We're trying to be more nimble in how we interpret situations. And there have been cases in recent years where we simply followed the permit requirements to the letter and released a lot of water that later caused some regret, not only from a supply standpoint, but from a fish management standpoint, that it may have had more value at a different time. For example, maintaining temperatures, you know, in very hot conditions in the summer, where you can have fish kills of adult fish. So that's it. I just wanted to highlight that point. I felt it was in the news, and it is kind of a breaking issue. And I'm trying to think what else. Just a quick mention. I was walking my dog at Bridgeport Park and peeked over the fence, and the pocket park is well underway. All the existing materials have been ripped out. There are trenches and flags everywhere. It looks like it would be a fun game to play if you're a kid, which is probably why it has fences all over it. And we'll see how that progresses over time. But if you get over that way, take a peek over the fence. That's it. Thanks.
We do not, but President Martin, you need to put on your speaker. Your microphone.
All right. I'll say it again. I do not have any public comment cards on item 8. Do we have any members of the public online who might have public comment?
We do not.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. I'll open up to the board if they'd like to question. Vice President Ozahosky.
Thank you for that update. Regarding governor's executive order, the N-3-33, it also talks about permits for drilling wells, and that anybody that wants to drill wells needs to seek permission from that particular GSA. How does that affect us in the long term?
Okay.
Steve, and then Tom.
I'll give it a first run, Vice President Orzowski. The order basically kind of renewed something that he had already declared during the drought time, which was that for new wells that you are supposed to garner Groundwater Sustainability Agency approval before those wells are installed. Wells for municipal drinking water are not subject to that order. So I think, you know, in the real world, what does that mean? Obviously, our agency is part of a joint powers authority for a groundwater sustainability agency. And that agency is going to need to develop kind of rules of engagement for that process. I guess, fortunately, in our basin, the issue isn't, for instance, we have a much smaller group of pumping entities in our groundwater basin. So the rule itself doesn't have that much of an impact for our group, but I know it's something that our GSA is going to try and put together a policy for on how we would handle the event of somebody coming in and needing a well permit.
Okay, so we'll have no effect on Rosedale projects up there?
No, that's a different situation. So Rosedale, Rio Bravo is in their own groundwater sustainability agency. So I would say it would have a larger impact in the fact that there is large swaths of ag operation in those areas, and those wells would be subject to the permitting through that local groundwater sustainability agency. So yeah, I think that is one of the main concerns that I've heard from entities in the state, where you do have large ag operations and a substantial number of pumpers, the ability to go through and issue those permits is providing a challenge to some of those groundwater sustainability agencies.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Back to you, President Martin.
Are there any comments or questions from the board? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Stone. Thank you, Mr. Cole. We can move on to item 9, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There's only one on your agenda tonight, and that's the engineering committee that we've talked a lot about, the item that just came before us. So are there any public? I know I have a public comment card on item 9.1. So Ms. Noltemeyer, would you come to the podium and make your public comment?
It states on here a full presentation of the item will occur at the February 21, 2023 regular board meeting. So are you planning to do a full presentation? That's a yes or no answer. This is right from your agenda. Please. I don't know. Look at your agenda 9.1.
Are you referring to item 7.1?
I think the presentation was given in item 7. If we're talking about the...
You're not there yet? You're not.
No, we did that about 20 minutes ago.
Your comment was on item 9.1.
Did you already do 9.1?
9.1 is a informational report, but I believe you're referring to a comment that
it's
the item will be.
It's item number 9.1.
I need to look at my agenda here.
That's all.
Bear with me.
Yes, I do it all the time.
Somebody have that agenda handy? I've lost on my computer.
Point of order, President Martin. Agenda 9.1 states Engineering and Operations Committee meeting recap report, as we have done in the past. The presentation from that particular committee meeting took place today on under item 7.1.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Okay. So item 9.1, Ms. Noltemeyer, summarizes our Engineering and Operations Committee. And the note that you're reading there says that that particular item will be presented to the full board. And it was presented under item 7 tonight. This was the MWD connection item.
Well, then why on the agenda I have in my hand is this? It's 9.1. And we've been sitting through all the other stuff, and do you look what's sent out or what?
Yeah, 9.1 is a summary of another meeting
included. A full presentation of the item will occur at the February 21, 2023 regular board meeting.
Correct, and that refers to what was item 4 on the engineering committee agenda. And that item then appeared on our agenda tonight as item, what was it, 7.1? And there was a full presentation. There was an opportunity for public comment, and the board voted, I believe, 6-1 in
favor. Ms. Noltemeyer, do you have a public comment on item 9.1?
There isn't much point, is there? I don't know. Just get your act together. It's saying a full presentation of the item will occur at the February board meeting. Did you have a full presentation?
Yes, we did. Yes.
It's just that we can't rely on your agendas. Is that it?
No, it's agendized as item 7. It,
not
you know,
here,
the agenda
right
numbers.
Here,
change from week to week, from meeting to meeting, because there are different numbers of items on the agenda. So I apologize for any confusion. Why do you leave it
to the public here?
Oh,
when you send out the agendas.
So that item is a summary of that particular committee meeting, so that the public knows what was discussed
Would
at that
you
committee
like
meeting.
To see it right here?
Yeah, I know. I have found it now. I'm aware of what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a recap report. So what it is, this is their recap on this meeting that happened right here. So this is that item. So the item that you're referring to right here.
It says right here. Right. It will give a full presentation.
Which they did tonight. But this is for this
but they
item.
Did it at a different time. No, oh, well, we'll enjoy following here.
Thank you, Ms. Altemeyer. We have any public comment online on item 8?
No, we do not.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 10, President's Report. Update on a few items for the board and attendees tonight. The Urban Water Institute, this is under the category of outside the agency conferences and events. As mentioned earlier, the Urban Water Institute Spring Conference will be held in Palm Springs on February 22 to 24. This week, as a matter of fact, tomorrow through Friday. The SCV Chamber of Commerce Centennial Celebration Awards and installation being held at the Canyon Country Community Center at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on February 23rd. The KHTS Sacramento Road Trip will be held March 20 to 21, 2023. Our attendees will be Vice President Arzahowski, Director Cooper, and myself. Upcoming regular board meetings, the March 7th board meeting will be starting at 6 p.m. Regular board meeting on March 21st, due to our attendance at the KHTS bus trip, which cannot get us back by the start time. We've rescheduled the start time for the March 21st board meeting to 7 p.m. Dinner will not be served. Upcoming special board meeting, there'll be a special board meeting on March 3rd. The team building for the board will be held at Embassy Suites in Santa Clarita. Start time at 7:15 for breakfast and a call to order at 8 p.m. Upcoming committee meetings held at Summit Circle in the EWS boardroom at 5:30 p.m., the March 2nd Engineering and Operations Committee, the March 8th Water Resources and Watershed, and the March 16th Public Outreach and Legislation Committee. Upcoming committee meetings held at Rio Vista in the boardroom here, the February 27 rescheduled Finance and Administration Committee meeting, and the March 20 regular Finance and Administration Committee meeting. That concludes the President's Report for tonight. Do we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Do we have any questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, we can move on to item 11, AB 1234 reports. There were three reports that were emailed, posted to the SCV Water website and are at each of our spots. Does anyone have an additional AB 1234 report? Director Armitage.
Thank you. On February 15th, I listened in on the Aqua Water Quality Committee meeting virtually, where they gave updates on the plan for monitoring microplastics. They spoke more about ideas around public health goals for certain contaminants. And then there was a presentation from officials from Half Moon Bay on disaster and emergency response efforts around their experience, their unfortunate experience in dealing with two disasters at once, one being significant flooding in their community and another being a mass shooting that they experienced all within the very short time frame of each other. So that was interesting. And then secondly, I attended on February 16th, virtually, the executive committee meeting of the Special Districts Association of North LA County, where we did a quick debrief from our last general membership meeting and started planning the next quarterly meeting. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armis. Director Cooper.
I, too, attended the Aqua Groundwater Committee and a very good report. Thank you, Director Armitage. I also attended the Water Quality Committee. Most of it dealt with microplastics, and kind of where they're coming in the future. We're going to see more and more of it here soon. They're coming up with some procedures of actually how to test for it, which are going to be very difficult, but something I'm sure that we'll be able to do at some point.
Director Cooper, just to clarify, was the groundwater committee on the same day, on the 15th?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Director Armitage, you have your light on. Did you want to speak?
No. Thank you. But I do want to say that for the engineering and operations committee report, I didn't get a chance to make a quick comment. So do you want me to do that now?
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say that I listened in on the meeting and I very greatly appreciated the presentation by Ms. Lustig on the safety, quarterly safety presentation. I thought she did a fantastic job. And it really gave me the sense that the agency is taking employee safety very, very seriously. And I very much appreciated that. And it was a great reminder of all the very broad categories of safety that have to be considered by a water agency. You know, things from protecting hearing, which I kind of felt like is a new one we've been hearing lately, which I think is really actually important. And not very many people think about that. You know, and reducing COVID spread and issues related to heights on top of the really tall water towers and then all the way down in trenches. And so it's a very large variety of issues to think about and probably many, many more. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who does the work to keep staff safe and well so that at the end of their workday, they can go home safe to their families. So please pass that on to them. Thank you.
Very good. Seeing no further AB 1234s, do we have any public comment on the AB 1234s?
We do not.
Very good. We can now move on to item 12, director requests for future agenda items. Are there any requests for future agenda items? Remembering that these are items of information that are something that you would like further information on as a director and that can be requested and received from staff, if applicable, request the future agenda item at a later date. We have any requests for future agenda items?
Not a request for a future agenda item, but heard me, General Manager Stone's report talked about the temporary urgency change permit. There was a state water contractor, General Manager Jennifer Pierre, was on the radio today on KCRW or LA list. I guess this is new name, along with the top attorney from NRDC. And I thought it was overall very good discussion of the topic. If directors are interested in hearing more on that topic, I'm sure it's on the website.
Thank you. Thank you, Dirk. I see no requests for future agenda items, so we can move on to item, Vice President Rosanowski.
Okay, I think we've started a new kind of habit or tradition here. If any of the directors bring up an important or what they deem important conference seminar that's available through a webinar or website, the practice right now is to forward that to a board secretary so the board secretary can email that to all the directors. Director Marks, can you forward that that link to board secretary? And April, can you forward that to all of us?
Absolutely.
Okay, back to you, President Mark. Yep,
good idea. Good idea.
The website is LAIST. Yeah, I'm sure it's the... Okay. Local public radio.
All right. So Director Bronstein.
So I'm not sure under what capacity to put this, but I was wondering if we were open to do a land acknowledgement in our opening remarks that we are sitting on Tatavium land.
Do an acknowledgement for what?
A land acknowledgement. It's common practice in a lot of the DWR, when they start their opening remarks, they start it with the land acknowledgement saying that we are sitting on lands of Native Indigenous people and acknowledge it.
Could you take that into your notes, April?
I'm just putting it out there for you guys maybe to look at it.
We'll discuss it. Just.
But I, as I said, I wasn't sure under what to put it or to. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Director Armitage.
I'll just say that I have been noticing also more and more organizations have been adding a land acknowledgement at the beginning of their meetings. So I think that's an interesting ask and I would support that.
I'm sorry. I'm at a loss here.
I have no idea.
Director Bronson, can you, or Director Armitage, can you explain a little bit more? I'm not familiar with that practice.
I'm familiar with it. If either of you want to get off the hook. I first became aware of this when I was visiting a private facility that is located at some hot springs that were historically occupied by tribal members. And they still have a relationship with that tribe where they come and have access to do ceremonial activities at that site. It simply acknowledges that in past history, our community is built upon land that previously was occupied by an identified tribe. In most cases, there is an identified tribe that's associated with a piece of land. And a number of public and private agencies are simply starting certain events or functions with a brief acknowledgement that they're there on those ancestral lands of that particular entity. So it's I would call it a respectful nod to the history.
All right. Will that also include Mexico too? I mean, how far did they go back?
Well if they still control the land, they might be doing acknowledgments.
The Tataviums were here before the Mexico and all that.
Right.
They were the indigenous people that lived here.
Right. Yeah.
Were there any tribes before that particular tribe?
Can we not talk about a non-agenda item?
I have to ask Mr. Pound, are we getting off track here?
Yes, you are.
All right. Okay, very good.
I'll refrain.
Okay. Let's just put this in our notes for further discussion, April. This is not the point to discuss it tonight. Just ask for an agenda item to discuss a topic that's been mentioned. All right. Any other requests for future agenda items? Seeing none, we have reached item 13, adjournment. We are hereby adjourned. Thank you all very much. Have a good evening.